Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And what a blessing it has been just being in this place. I trust that you feel the very same way. We pray all week long that God would use this place as a place of refuge. And for God's people, as they come together, the most important thing is a sense of presence of the Lord in this place. And I trust that God has already blessed your heart just through the music and the specials. It's been a blessing to me. And now we need to look to the most important part is the Word of God and presenting that, the message that God has for us today. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, we're going to be reading verse 7 down to verse 10, the last book of the Bible, the book of the Apocalypse, the disclosure of future events. If you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading here chapter 20, beginning in verse 7 and read down to verse 10. The Bible says, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, passed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you once again today, again, thank you, Father, for this opportunity that you've provided each one that's here, an opportunity to be in church today. And I just trust, pray, and pray, God, that through what they've already received, they will be encouraged and strengthened. And then, Father, as we look to you and to the precious word that you've provided and preserved for us, I pray, God, once again, that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Last week, we preached on Revelation chapter 19 in verses 11 through 16, which is the actual second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of preparation for that. We find the rapture of the church, and then everything that's going to take place during the on this earth, the tribulation period, and the things that are going to be taking place in heaven. But then Christ's actual second coming is revealed, and we studied that in Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16. He comes back a little different than he came the first time, and we was able to present that. He comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and although he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he came as a baby the first time. The second time, he's going to come back, and he is going to come back in his fierceness and his power, and he is going to be seen as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he'll set up his millennial reign, the millennial or 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. Now, as we read here this morning in Revelation chapter 20, and this is part two, if you wasn't here last Sunday, make sure you get that CD. Listen to that message, because this goes right along with what we preached on last Sunday morning. But here we find in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 to 10, it reveals what will happen after the 1,000-year reign. Now, during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, things will be different, but there will still be physical life, and there will still be marriage, and there will be children being born, and there will be a multiplying of the human race on planet Earth at that time. And there's a lot of other things that will be taking place, but after that 1,000 years, we find here that Satan is going to be loosed. Now, if you remember the beast and the false prophet, those two world leaders that were demon-possessed, they have already been, Jesus come back, he addresses them first of all. He's already put them in the eternal Gehenna hell, that place of that lake burning with fire and brimstone. And now we find that Satan is loosed. He was not placed in there. He was placed in a prison, the Bible says. And now he's loosed, and he is able to deceive humanity once again. And he turns an innumerable amount of people against Christ in rebellion to Jesus Christ, who now has reigned for 1,000 years. He's able to deceive them. Deceived. Convinced by Satan himself that there is a better way of life. Now think about it. For this 1,000 years, for millennial reign, according to what the Bible gives us in prophecy, it's where the lamb will lay down with the lion. This 1,000 years, there's going to be no incurable diseases. There will continue to be marriages, but it will be according to the will of God. One man for one woman and one woman for one man, developing a Christian family, a family to be raised as God wants them to be raised. That's what's going to happen for 1,000 years. No incurable diseases during this time. There's no hunger or thirst. Nowhere around the planet. He eliminates, the reign of Christ will eliminate all hunger and all thirst. If you remember, when Jesus came the first time, that's what he was doing. He was performing some of these very same miracles. He was curing all diseases. He was feeding the world. He was feeding the hungry. There's going to be no bad weather. I mean, this is sounding more and more like heaven, but it's not heaven yet. It's still the millennial reign of Christ. And we understand this because Jesus controlled the weather when he was here. Amen. He spoke to the winds and the waves, and they obeyed him. So now he's ruling, and as he's ruling, we find that there is no bad weather worldwide. There's no wars. As we think of all the hindrances to our lives now, during the millennial reign of Christ, that will all change. No incurable diseases, no hunger or thirst, no bad weather, no wars. All controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ, because he will be ruling and reigning the earth in righteousness, according to the very same Bible that you have before you today. The desire of every Christian ought to be to live according to the very words of God. If you're wanting to live to please God, if you're wanting to live to have the blessings of God, then you want to conform to the image of Christ, and you want to live your life according to what the Bible says. When Jesus comes back, if you remember last week we studied, he is going to be called the very Word of God. Because that's what he's representing. And so during this millennial reign, everything, the whole world is going to be ruled and reigned by Jesus Christ according to what is right in God's eyes in holiness and righteousness for 1,000 years. It's an amazing thought. God gives us this insight. He wants you to understand this. He helps us to understand what the world's going to be like during a millennial reign without the presence of the devil. Now, mankind will still be born with a sin nature. They'll be the very same bloodline, but it will be different because Satan will not be able to be there and to hinder the world and to deceive the world for 1,000 years. But then the Bible says, as we read, he'll be loosed. And even after living in this world, in the conditions that the Bible reveals to us, he's able to deceive an innumerable amount of people to rebel against the ways of God. That's an amazing thought. Now, God wants us to understand that, but why has God given us that today? Because today we have all those negative things, and we have Satan, very much alive and well, doing the very same thing to humanity worldwide. In chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, in verse 9, it says this, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." That's what's taking place right now. Can I tell you that we fight spiritual warfare? There's a spiritual kingdom that you cannot see with the naked eye, but that just because we cannot see it does not mean that it's not there. It is there. There's no doubt if you have any understanding of righteousness, if you have any understanding of godliness, you have been in situations where you could just feel the evil. And there's a reason, because there's a lot of evil around, a lot of different evil things. And you can sense that. And even though you can't see it, you know it's there. Can I tell you that the Christian, even though you cannot see the presence of the Lord, and you cannot see the angels, and you cannot even see the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, can I tell you that if you have been saved for any time at all, and you've been looking to God, you have been able to sense the presence of God with you. No doubt, when you go through some of the very toughest times of life, when you go through some of the valleys of life and some of the darkest nights, you can actually sense the hand of God upon you. You're not going to see Him. You're not going to be able to even communicate with Him verbally, but you can. His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit, and you can sense His presence. Why? Because they exist. The spiritual kingdom is real. We fight spiritual battles today. And no devil has a lot to work with in the world, in the ways of the world, and this old flesh of mankind that has an evil nature in it, and the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride. That's all within every one of us. And Satan's able to use that. And he's able to use the ways of the world. And Satan, if you will, the Bible says, is the prince of the power of the air. And the Bible reveals to us here that the greatness of His power, even after 1,000 years in a millennial reign, where Christ Himself is ruling and reigning, and we don't understand all of it, we just know what the Bible reveals to us, but after that 1,000-year millennial reign, Satan is able to deceive an innumerable amount of people. If he's going to be able to do that, at that time, after 1,000 years of what they're going to experience on this planet Earth, what do you think he's able to do today? Yeah. Satan is working to deceive all nations. And as it's getting closer to that end time, the Bible says it will get worse and worse, because he will work harder and harder to deceive all people. Many will be deceived, but can I tell you, everyone individually will choose what they believe. God has given humanity, and that will not change, a free will. And he has allowed Satan to have a lot of influence and have a lot of power, but the one thing that he cannot do, he cannot force you to do anything. But he can deceive you, and he can suggest things to your mind and tempt you to go in certain directions. We see that in the end time, in this after the millennial reign. And after this will be the end of humanity on planet Earth. And then there'll be a new heaven, a new earth, and we'll go into eternity. And what a blessing it's going to be. But to this morning, I want, and God has given us this, to be able to see the power of Satan's deceptiveness, of the power of his lies, and the power of his suggestions to humanity. Because I guarantee you, he's working on you today. He's working on me every day. So we have to choose. Can I tell you that first and foremost, what's most important in the choice that we make in this life is we need to choose faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. You've heard me tell you many times, because it's so true, the whole Old Testament is trying to prepare humanity for the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a theme of the entire Bible. The entire Old Testament is there in preparing humanity for the coming of the ultimate blood sacrifice, the coming of the sacrificial lamb, that Jesus would come to pay the sin debt of all humanity, so that he would be able to offer all humanity and whosoever will everlasting eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and and a new life in Christ, a new nature. What a blessing that is. But every man, every woman that's ever been born has had to choose for themselves. In the Bible says over in the book of Romans in chapter 10, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but it begins there. It begins there with us overcoming this deceptiveness of the devil. It starts right here in understanding what I must do in order to be able to live a life that is pleasing unto God and to be able to overcome the suggestions and the temptations and the lies of the devil. The Bible says in Romans in chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou, and any one of us can put our name there because it's the same for all people, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you have to confess that you believe in who He is and what He's done, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. You believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if you believe in that and you put your faith in that, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus taught His disciples that genuine faith will cast out doubt. Where does doubt come from? Doubt comes from the devil getting into your heart and getting into your mind and putting thoughts in your mind and putting suggestions into your mind and tempting you to turn away. The Bible says in the book of Matthew in chapter 21, for this is the first choice that we need to make, the most important choice, the most important decision that any man or woman will make in this life is what they do with their belief in Jesus Christ. It's not good enough just to believe that He was a good person. Not good enough just to believe He was a good man and maybe a prophet. But you have to believe that He was the Messiah, that He came for one purpose in mind, and that is to give His life, to lay His life down, to pay a sin debt that you owe and have no way of paying. And understanding that salvation is only through Him and His blood. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 21, Jesus answered and said to them, His disciples, He said, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, because can I tell you that doubt is going to hinder your faith? If ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to this fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now he wanted to emphasize the power of faith and he emphasized the need to reject the doubt. And he says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Genuine faith will cast out doubt. Is doubt going to come? It's the suggestion of doubt's going to come. The temptation of doubt is going to come. But genuine faith says, get behind me, devil. Genuine faith says, I know whom I believe in. I know the truth. And you're not going to be able to deceive me with suggestions. You're not going to be able to deceive me with lies because I know the truth. And I'm not ashamed of it. For my faith has been placed in Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, we need to stop entertaining thoughts or suggestions of doubt. Need to get away from that. Need to be completely given to faith in Jesus Christ. So choose faith. Satan's going to try to keep you from choosing faith in Christ. He'll let you choose religion. And he'll try to tempt you to choose anything other than. But the truth of it is, there's no other way than through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you will make that choice. Not only do we need to make the choice to have faith in Christ, we need to choose to have convictions. It's how we live our lives. And we studied it somewhat in Sunday school this morning, if you was in Sunday school this morning, but in chapter Romans, in chapter 12, Romans in chapter 12, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, God would have his children to live different from the world. We need to determine ahead of time what we will and will not do. This is understanding that we need to choose to have convictions. My convictions need to be based upon the very words of God. And if I have biblical convictions, I need to give myself to those convictions and make this statement, Satan, you will not be able to deter me from living by my convictions. Now, if you have preferences, can I tell you that everyone here is going to have some differences on preferences? And that you got your right, you have your right to live with whatever preferences you want, amen? As long as they don't go against biblical convictions. We can compromise preferences. In my marriage, we have lived together for some 30, going on 36 years. Can I tell you that we have to compromise some of our preferences? And that's all right. In order for us to stay married for 36 years, we've had to do that. But when it comes to convictions, I will not compromise my convictions because my convictions are based upon the very words of God. And we need to determine that we are going to choose to live by convictions. Because if you don't, you'll compromise everything. You'll compromise when the devil comes to you and says, well, that's really not the word of God. That's just your preference or that's their preference. And so it's all right to go ahead and to do this. And it's all right to go ahead and do that. And if you don't feel like going to church, it's all right. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to pray. Listen to me. If it's based upon preferences and you're opened up to the suggestions, the devil, as powerful as his deceptions are, he'll deceive you and you will be led in a direction away from God. But if you say, I am going to determine to live by convictions, if the Bible says for me to do it, it's a conviction, I'm going to do it. If the Bible tells me that I should not do it, it's a conviction, I will not do it, no matter what. Amen. Amen. God would have us to live by convictions. Once you have faith in Jesus Christ and you know him to be the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world, your shepherd, look to him. And not only do you believe in him and receive him by choice, then you need to make a choice and a decision that says, I'm going to live my life based on convictions that he gives me. How important that is. So many, they don't live by conviction. And if you don't have biblical conviction, you will be persuaded at some point to turn away from the very things that God wants you to turn to. Why? Because that's the deception. And the power of suggestion and the power of temptation that we all face. Because there is a spiritual battle. There is a devil. There is a spiritual kingdom, and he is very much alive and well today. Not only do we need to choose faith in Christ, we need to choose to have convictions. We need to choose to live a disciplined life. A disciplined life. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. This is all what Jesus again showed us as an example. This is what he is going to be ruling and reigning in righteousness during the millennial reign. The convictions of the world will be the convictions of Christ. I wish that were true today. Amen? Just think of how much better. The answer to the world's problems is belief in Christ. Is belief and living by convictions, Christian convictions. And we'll find in the world, in the millennial reign, the whole world will be ruled and reigned by Christian biblical convictions the convictions of Christ. It can be done. But if you do not choose to live by convictions, when the devil comes, can I tell you, and he will come, he'll persuade you to move away from convictions. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 and verse 27, Paul says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. You can't do this to anybody else's body, but you ought to be able to do it for your own body, and you should be doing this. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Can I tell you that we need to choose to live a disciplined life? We live in a very fast-paced society today, and it's not slowing down. Everybody's busy. Everybody has pressures. I remember not too long ago, the trash man was coming by, and I was just taking the trash out the last minute there, and I talked to him, and he, a trash collector. He said, boys, I tell you what. He said, you don't know how much pressure this job is on us. He said, my life is filled with, this job is filled with so much pressure, so I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm thinking, just going around picking up trash has caused this all this pressure, this man to think that he's under all this pressure. Can I tell you that life in general is pressure? We're living in a world that it's all fast-paced, and it's the devil trying to put more pressure on humanity. Because the more pressure the world puts on us, if we are not learning to live a disciplined life, we'll not make time for the spiritual things. If we are not self-disciplined, we will not make time for the things that matter most. We'll excuse it. We'll excuse not having time for Bible reading and prayer. We'll excuse ourselves for not having time for church. We'll excuse ourselves from not having time to use our talents and the spiritual gifts that God gives us to serve Him. Yeah, excuses for these things are very common. I guarantee you, plan on reading your Bible. Plan on a certain time that you're going to sit down, this is my prayer and Bible reading time, and see what happens. It's not a coincidence that everything happens the moment it's time that I've set aside for prayer and Bible reading. The phone will ring off the hook. The kids will get into a fight. Amen. Something is going, can I tell you, it's not a coincidence, because there is a devil, there is a spiritual kingdom, and there's going to be coming things in your mind, and Satan's going to say, well, it's all right that you don't do it because you have to tend to this, and I have to work overtime, and so it's all right that I don't do this. And before you know it, you have made suggestions, and you have turned away from the things that matter most, and that is the spiritual things of life, because the spiritual things of life is what's going to give you the victory in the physical things of life. Sometimes I wonder if Satan's in control of the weather. What does it happen? Saturday night going into Sunday morning. I'm thinking, Lord, you know that the people need to be in church, and you know that we need what you have for us. And sometimes it just takes a little bit of something to give a suggestion, amen, to not to do the spiritual things that God would have you to do. And it happens all the time. There is a devil. There is spiritual warfare. If you are not determined to live a disciplined life, you'll forfeit the spiritual things first. And that's the most important things for the born-again believer. Not only should we will choose to live, to have faith in Christ, choose to have convictions, choose to live a disciplined life, but this last thing right here, so important. Because for some reason, in the millennial reign, those that Satan deceives are going to lose sight of every one of these. Choose to find joy in the Lord. If their joy was in Christ, Satan would have not been able to deceive them into rebelling against him. If they had chosen convictions, Satan would not have been able to convince them to rebel against Christ. If they had chosen disciplined life, Satan would not have been able to convince them to rebel. Amen. But I think this last one might be one of the most important. Choose to find joy in the Lord. The Bible tells us, it's the joy of the Lord is your strength. Jesus taught his disciples something very important concerning this idea of joy. Look at John chapter 15 with me. Where are you looking for your joy? In John chapter 15 and verse 9, Jesus says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Loving others as Christ has loved us. Very important. But you have to choose to find joy in loving others as Christ has loved you. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The next chapter, in chapter 16, verse 33, says this, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Stop looking for joy in conforming to the ways of the world. Too many people said, well, if I just have what everybody else is looking for and have what everyone else seems to have that I'm looking to anyway, that'll bring me joy. Bigger house, nicer car, better clothes. Will it? Not according to the Word of God. Stop looking for joy in fleshly appetites. Can I tell you, it's all part of Satan's deception to make you think, if I only had that money. What you think that money will bring to you will not actually bring to you. It'll bring you another set of difficulties, another set of problems. And the thing of it is, if you're going by your appetites and the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes, no matter how much you have, you'll always want more. That's not going to bring you the type of lasting joy that you ought to be looking for. Choose to find joy, and it's a choice. Choose to find joy in that which will never change. Joy when the stock markets are up, if you have a lot invested. What happens when they go down? Yeah. What happens when you lose that job? What happens when that car breaks down? Can I tell you that God has made it possible for us to walk as close to Him as we desire? Truth of it is, you're as close, walking as close to God today as you choose to walk. If your joy is in the Lord, can I tell you that you will walk closer to Him? If your joy is in other things, you will find deception that will lead you away from your walk with God. And your focus is on these other things. And the deception is it's very real. It's because of the devil. That's what he's doing today. God has told us we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know how he works. Sometimes we're blinded to him working on us. Other relationships change. But your walk with God is totally dependent upon you. God has done everything to make it your choice. Can I tell you that there was a huge price paid to bring to us a gift of everlasting life, but you didn't have to pay for it. It was paid. But he offers it to you for free so that all you have to do is choose. Your joy, you choose to find joy in the Lord. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. God says, I have done everything. There has been a lot to needed to be done to bring you this idea of just a choice. But you have it today. You just have to choose. You can go through health problems. You can go through financial problems. You can go through relationship problems. Listen to me. But the thing that will not change is God. And through it all, you can find joy. You can rejoice in the Lord always. Again, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because he'll never change. But we have to make the choice. I'm going to find joy in serving the Lord. Don't yield to deception. Make the right choices. Like if every head bowed, every eye closed. It begins with your choice of faith in Christ. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? If your eyes were to close in death today, right now, are you 100% sure that heaven will be your eternal home? Listen to me. If you know that, that gives you a peace that passeth all understanding. That'll bring you this joy that no one or nothing can take away from you. Have you chosen to live a life based on conviction? Have you chosen to live a disciplined life? These are all choices that every person will make. And I trust, based on the revelation that God has given to us, that we will choose to make the right choices. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for meeting with us. Thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, I preach exactly what you've placed on my heart to reveal to the people. You knew who was going to be here before they even knew they were coming. And I pray right now, God, as you speak to everyone here, that they would yield and make whatever decisions you want them to make. Lord, if there's someone here that needs to be saved, help them to come and let somebody take a Bible and show them what they must do to be saved. Someone here that needs to rededicate their life. Maybe someone here that just needs to come and surrender themselves for believers' baptism, whatever it might be. Work in our midst. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.